We've heard it many times. You are the light of the world. But if we take a moment to really think about the meaning of these words, it might sink in a little bit more deeply. Now think for me with a minute about the people to whom Jesus is speaking. A motley crew of farmers, fishermen, tax collectors, housewives in a tiny remote village in an obscure part of the Roman Empire. And Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. Well, maybe a 40-watt light bulb, but the light of the world? Well, maybe 100 watts, but not the light of the world. And yet this is exactly what Jesus says, the light of the world. That bunch? It must have sounded absurd at the time, even to them. Only Jesus could have seen that through this group of misfits, God would indeed change the world. At the time, however, it probably sounded like much idle chatter. You are the light of the world. And so they were. Now, do you want to hear something really strange? So are we. We are the light of the world. Jesus says that that is who we are. So let your teeth sink into this truth. Savor it. You are the light of the world. What does this mean? Well, Jesus says it means that we are a city that is set on a hill. And when we take this to heart, it will affect us, I hope, in three ways. We will recognize that because we are the light of the world, we have a certain responsibility to the world. Secondly, we have something that the world desperately needs. And thirdly, we will recognize we are not the source of this light, but this is a reflected light that comes from someone so much better. We have a responsibility, we have something to offer, and we have a light that comes from another. In the Old Testament reading for today, we have one of these wonderful passages that speaks particularly about the corporal act of mercy, which we call caring for the poor. And listen specifically to what Isaiah says about our responsibility as the light of the world to the world. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? This is so practical. A way to live our lives where we extend to those in need the basics of life. When Christians live like this, the light Jesus says that we are as his followers is manifested in a special way. And then that passage goes on to say, when you live like this, your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Here's the thing. When we learn to live mercifully, we become more aware of the mercy of God. It's reciprocal. It's the way we are to live. But there's another part of this passage that struck me when I heard it, and I've never heard it quite so clearly before, when Isaiah says, if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of evil. Here is expressed the yoke of judgment, the finger of condemnation pointed at those who are suffering. When people of faith are people who point the finger, there is no light. We are not able to exercise the kind of character that is to be ours. Indeed, we are like salt that loses its taste. We are like a light that is being hid under a bushel. So let me illustrate this in a practical way. As Roman Catholics, we have a particular concern about the sanctity of life. To that end, we understand abortion to be a moral evil that is a violation of the commandment that says, thou shalt not murder. The Church has to always proclaim, in the words of Gaudium et Spes, the Vatican II document, these words. God, the Lord of life, has entrusted to men and women the noble mission of safeguarding life. And people, must carry it out in a manner worthy of themselves. Life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide are abominable crimes. So the church sees the seriousness of this moral evil. But the church is also called to be merciful. For instance, priests can now hear the confession of a person who confesses to having had an abortion without having to go to the bishop to get the bishop's permission to be able to extend forgiveness. This is vitally important, that when a person has true contrition of heart and a desire for amendment of life, that that person can come to the priest and seek forgiveness. A person came to me not long ago, and it was actually a man. And what a privilege it was to hear him confess this sin and the work that God is doing in this person's life. But that's not all. Do you know that here in Calgary, there is a house called Elizabeth House? It's run by our diocese. It's for teenage mothers who are courageous and they decide to keep their children. Elizabeth House not only cares for these moms and babies, but it supports these young women with education, and the hope is that with time, they will be able to be established in their own homes. This year, our Knights of Columbus here at St. Peter's has decided we want to come on board in very tangible ways and help with Elizabeth House. We are going to plant a garden. We are going to refurbish their backyard, and there'll be other things that we hope to do. And we would love to have your participation. We would love to have your help. Of course, there's no garden going to be planted next month or even in the next couple of months, but we do hope that spring will come. And so keep your ear to the ground, keep your eye in the bulletin, and when these opportunities come, if you can, please respond. Here's the point. As Catholics, we have a responsibility to always and everywhere speak out against the evil of abortion because it is murder. However, we also have to do everything we can to extend the mercy of God through the sacrament of confession and reconciliation and to help support those people who choose to do the right thing by having their babies. When we do this, in the words of Isaiah, we will not be pointing the finger. Rather, we will have a heart that wants to take seriously the particular responsibility we have as Roman Catholics in this area of our social life. But not only are we to be motivated to understand that we have a responsibility to the world, we also have to be motivated to see that we have something that the world needs. Jesus says that not only are we the light of the world, we are also the salt of the earth. And of course, you perhaps remember that in the ancient world, salt was a preservative for food. As the church, Jesus says that we in our own day are to have this same influence. I love this verse from Colossians 4, verse 6, where St. Paul relates this preservative dimension of our life as Catholics to our speech. Listen to what St. Paul says. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Speech seasoned with salt. Our words are to have a preserving dimension. This means that for us as Catholics and for those who are called to leadership in our church, there will be times when our speech has to address matters that preserve the integrity of the church's teaching. Let me illustrate with the following story. Last month, our knights from here went to a chapter meeting of the Knights of Columbus that was held at St. Cecilia's Parish. And the announcement was made that St. Mary's University is going to receive a grant from the Liberal government for $400,000. Now, some of you might say, what's wrong with that? Tax dollars going to a good cause. Is that not what our tax dollars are for? But this is not regular university funding. This is grant money that a minister of the government is going to come and directly give to St. Mary's University. And here's the problem that was raised at this meeting. The Liberal government has explicitly stated, there was an article from the National Post in 2014 when Mr. Trudeau was not yet the Prime Minister, where he was explicit in saying that no one could be in his caucus or run for the Liberal Party if they held to a pro-life position. This government explicitly exercises a policy that is contrary to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Our Grand Knight Angelo, our Deputy Grand Knight Teo, and I were so concerned about this that we sent a letter to the board of St. Mary's University expressing our concern that a private Catholic university is receiving special funding from a government that is in principle opposed to the teaching of the Catholic Church. By the way, Father Jerome saw this letter and he said, "Send it." The letter was written in a gracious manner, but was also very clear in stating that we see there being a conflict of interest between St. Mary's as a Catholic university receiving grant money from Prime Minister Trudeau's Liberal government. Jesus says that the church can lose her saltiness. How does that happen? When we don't say anything, when something needs to be said. We are called to be engaged. We are called to always be gracious in our language. But as St. Paul said, our language needs to be seasoned with salt. This language is language that the world needs to hear. I believe we need to eagerly speak, even to Catholic institutions, where they seem to be losing their saltiness because of accommodation to the values of the world. I know this is not easy to hear, but these sorts of things need to be spoken from Catholic pulpits. We are the light of the world. But let's be clear, we are not the source of our light. Just as the moon is not the source of its light, ours is a reflected light that when we are turned evermore to Jesus Christ, when we are turned evermore to the magisterial teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, we will be able to be more fully that city on a hill, salt that has this preserving element. That is because just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, Catholics who take seriously the call to be light, to be salt, will reflect the light of the Son of God. So in conclusion, let me quote St. Paul from today's reading. Here are the words of the apostle. And I think these are beautiful words. Listen to Paul's humility. He says, "I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling." Let me tell you, standing here saying what I'm saying today is not easy, and I feel kind of nervous. But I'm in good company. St. Paul said, "I came to you in weakness with much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message was not with plausible words of wisdom." That is the human wisdom of the world. "No," says Paul, "but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Beloved St. Peter's family, this is the point. It is only when we realize the power of God working within the body of Christ that we can be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And we are not a 40-watt bulb. We are not a 100-watt bulb. We are to shine with the glory that is like the glory of a full moon.